Listen for the word of the Lord. Now a man from the house of Levi went and married a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a fine baby, she hid him 3 months. When she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and plastered it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds on the bank of the river. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. The word of the Lord.
Our second reading today comes from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 11, starting at verse 1. Let us listen to what we need to hear from God today. Set out your bread upon the waters, and after many days you will get it back. Divide your means 7 ways, or even 8, for you do not know what disaster may happen on earth. When clouds are full, they empty rain on the earth, whether a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where the tree falls is where it lies. Whoever observes the wind will not sow. Whoever regards the clouds will not reap. Just as you do not know how the breath comes into the bones in a mother's womb, you do not know the work of God, who makes everything. In the morning, sow your seed. And at evening, do not let your hands be idle, for you do not know which will prosper, this or that, or whether both alike will be good. The word of the Lord. In faith, we have complicated theologies upon which we argue a lot, and we have some basic understandings that we argue maybe a little less about. Those basic understandings in faith can mean a great deal and make a big difference in how we operate day to day. For example, we will treat people very differently depending on if we believe they are at their core good or if we believe that humans have a natural flaw, an origin of sin. If we believe humans are essentially bad by nature, we will expect evil from others and put up all kinds of protections to keep ourselves from that anticipated harm. On the other hand, if we think that humans were created, as God says in Genesis, to be very good, things like trust and respect come much quicker to our relationships. These kinds of basic beliefs can significantly impact the choices that we make, sometimes without us even noticing. Another belief that can greatly affect the way we live is if we believe God will only give us what we can handle. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but Scripture does not say that. In fact, if anything, Scripture hints heavily that a life of faith is hard. It tells us even more to expect hardships, that if we're doing hard things, it is a sign that we are walking by good faith. I get why God will only give you what you can handle thrives, even though the Scriptures don't say that, though, because God can only give you what you can handle is an easier package to sell to other people. It looks very nice on the mantle as we encourage ourselves every day on our walk of faith. Another reason why I think this sweetened theology thrives is because when we read Scripture, we already know all the spoilers. We know what Mary will find at the tomb on Easter Sunday. We know that the first time God asks Noah to build an ark, it's a good idea. We know that when Moses' mother puts her baby boy into a basket in the river, that a princess will find him and they will live happily ever after. Ish. We know things turn out okay, so God will only give you what you can handle seems to fit these stories. We know that eventually they do handle what is given to them. Unfortunately for the people in these stories, living these moments out for the first time, these do not feel like things they could handle. And if we wash away our knowledge of the next few pages of Moses' story, we realize that the truth is not God will only give you what you can handle. The truth is things will be hard. So let's try to shed our knowledge about what will happen after this moment with the mother and try to meet her in her moment for the first time. We pick up in Exodus, and there's a law in the land that is causing a lot of harm for the Israelites. The law says that the firstborn son of every family must be killed. This is the daily reality for the people, and many are facing the hardships that this law mandates. And then when we focus in on this one mother, we see that she is facing the unimaginable. She has given birth to a baby, a boy, her first boy. This should be a cause for celebration, but the minute that he is born, panic sets into the family. The father is nowhere to be found, probably trying to distance himself from making a bond with this doomed child. The young sister is vaguely aware of the threat. She can only grasp that her parents are afraid and that people aren't really stopping by with well wishes. The mother, through all of her anxiety, hangs on to hope. Foolish hope, but hope. This mother has no idea how she's going to save her son. She has watched all her other friends fail to save their sons. They've tried escaping, they've tried disguises, they've tried lying, but every time the boys meet the same fate. And then one day, a wild idea comes to her. Out of her foolish hope, she considers finding a basket, covering it with pitch and tar, and putting her three-month-old into the basket to let it float in the river while she goes about her day. Now, this is the part of the story where we let our spoilers gloss over her reality. She does not know what will happen to this baby. She knows that the waters are fairly steady, that things get trapped in the reeds all the time, so the baby may be safe. But she also knows the animals that come to drink and eat at that water. She knows the hazards of the rapids should the basket get rocked loose. Knowing all of this, and that a powerful authority wants to kill her child, she does the hardest thing that she has ever had to do. She leaves her child in a makeshift floaty, tucked away in unpredictable waters, with only the foolish hope that maybe he'll still be there when I get back. And maybe I'll be able to kiss his face just one more time. I pity anyone who tries to tell that woman walking away from that riverbank that God will only give you what you can handle. That is not something that she can handle. The mothers I know barely let their newborns out of their sight, let alone what this mother has just done. This story clearly tells us that the truth is, things will be hard, even for righteous people, even for people who God chooses to birth the next great leaders, even for those who pray enough, for people who give enough, people who attend worship enough, who volunteer enough, even for us, things will be hard. God does not regulate how much we can handle like a faucet only turning it on so much. I wish it was so. But God doesn't take away this hard thing from this mother, and so we shouldn't expect much more. What God does is honors her risk, honors her work to take that hard step, to do the hard thing with a rescue down the river. The river that the mother steps into represents all of her terror. It could be okay, or it could be a dreadful ending. And by walking away and doing that hard thing, the baby is then released to the rescue of God, because she was willing to do the hard thing. She got more than her foolish hope could ever imagine. God honors those who are willing to do hard things. As I was reflecting on the hard things of life, the things that we have to do, my mind kept coming to moments when we have to examine our inner selves, our beliefs and our truths, our biases and assumptions. There's something about admitting that we don't have it all together, or God forbid, admitting that we were straight up wrong about something, that is really hard for us to do. Making these kinds of admissions is very much like taking our pride, placing it into a basket, and leaving ourselves vulnerable to whatever may come on that river. Humans do not like to admit when we are wrong. And there are businesses making millions off of that reality. Google knows what you like based on your past searches, based on the area of the world that you live, and if you search for something, it will send you the articles to reinforce those beliefs and those biases and those assumptions. Social media apps like TikTok will only send you videos that you want to see because they want to keep you on that app as long as possible. These juggernauts are not going to challenge you. They know that humans run away from challenging information. Google and TikTok are never going to ask you to do hard things. They will reinforce what you think you already know. One reason my mind kept coming to these moments where we re-examine our inner reality is because I am obsessed with people who leave cults. I have watched every documentary at least twice. It's especially incredible to me when children who are raised inside of a cult suddenly realize their reality is off. I'm in awe of these stories of people who leave cults because they have done the hardest thing. They allowed new information to challenge their reality and found a way to ignore the raging beast inside, saying, "I am already right," and changed something about themselves so that they could be better. Listening to their stories, it's apparent how hard making this change can be and how little it takes to crack the facade. Many of their stories shift from one great moment of realization. They may have gathered information for a while, but that moment when they choose to acknowledge that they may not be right, their whole world shifts. They build their baskets with articles and conversations with outsiders, weaving together information that is contrary to the cult's narrative. And that narrative is so weak, their curiosity and their doubts become coats around their reality. And one person described it like a dark space, where they don't know which way is up or down. They were just floating in a void. The easy thing to do in that moment is to abandon the process, to grab our pride back out of that basket, to double down on the old beliefs, to go back to the comfortable way of before. Those who choose to do the harder eventually find that final peace, the rescue, that removes the lid of their basket and lets the light of truth shine in. To continue moving in the darkness of life, letting in new information to challenge our reality, it is a faith practice to engage those other thoughts. And it is the hardest thing that a human can do. The writer of Ecclesiastes knows this more. They know that God is not a God who can only give you what you can handle, that God is a God that honors hard things. Sow your seed in the morning, and at the evening let your hands not be idle. For you do not know which will succeed, this or that, or whether both will do equally well. If we sit still in our current knowledge, in our current understanding, in our current way of life, we don't get to see those seeds grow, to see those successes that God gives. These verses beg us to move forward, even in the hard times, because something will succeed. God honors, promises to honor those paths, and it's not always the easy path. We Presbyterians have a phrase that we use when hard decisions are being made. We say, "If the way be made clear." This phrase, however, relies on a belief that God only gives us what we're ready to handle. The votes on every hard decision will only go the way that God's people are willing to go. But if we're being asked to step onto a hard path, will enough of us vote to do the harder thing? The way was not clear when Noah started building the ark. The way was not clear when Mary left for the tomb that morning. The way was not clear when Moses' mother set him into a basket. Sometimes the way is hard, and it is exactly the way that God is directing us. We need to do hard things. Our congregation has decided to do a hard thing. We have chosen to become a Matthew 25 church and examine our understanding of racism and poverty in our community. We will have to put our pride into that basket and set it afloat if we hope to achieve God's will in this. This past week, we got ourselves launched learning about what systemic racism even is. And over the next few months, the Matthew 25 workgroup has invited incredible speakers to talk about specific systems like wealth and the education system and all these different areas where we can really focus in on how racism operates within those systems. These speakers will challenge our understanding. This is a hard thing for our community to do, but we can do hard things. God will be with us as we learn and we listen and we lean into these new stories and new understandings. I fully expect to feel punched in the gut a few times, but those hard realizations will help me love more and to understand who God is. No matter what your first reaction is to being asked to understand systemic racism, we need to do this hard thing. In a lot of ways, this river that we're placing our baskets into represents our greatest fears. But what if the rescue for us, for you and for me, for this church, for Christianity, for our community, for our world, what if the rescue is in this direction of this hard thing? Then we need to be people who trust enough that God will grow those seeds that will honor the hard things that we do. I hope that you will join us over the next few months for these speakers, for the Matthew 25 discussions, so that we can do this hard thing together knowing that God is waiting to rescue and scoop us out just on the other side of these reeds. Amen.